This morning, our devotional background study comes from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I a God to kill and to make alive, that this man doeth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore thou hast rent thy clothes, let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Are there any announcements before we go to class?
Our lesson today comes from the second book of Kings, 5th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. Now, if everyone was listening to Jimmy's devotional and background lesson, it was the beginning of this chapter, and it sort of explained up to the point that our Sunday school lesson starts, about Naaman being the host, captain of the host of the king of Syria. And it said he was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given him deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now, I say that to establish the man himself. He was a captain, a military leader. He was like a general. He was an advisor to the king. He had the king of Syria's ear, so to speak. So he was a great man. Now, I don't know why this is, but in our commentary from the writer, he seems to indicate, if you've read this, and I just want to kind of straighten this up a little bit. I'm not here to debate his lesson, but I just want to straighten something up. He says that this Naaman was the grandson of Benjamin. Well, that these two men are completely different. They lived about 1,000 years apart. There was a Naaman who was the grandson of Benjamin, and you can go over into the 46th chapter of Genesis and you can read about him. And but this happens to be at a different place and a different time. So I don't believe these two Naamans are the same one. This Naaman, I think, is a Syrian, and he has warred against Israel. Now, Israel at this time was two kingdoms. This was like 700 years before Christ was born. If you remember, after David was king and after Solomon that Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom being Israel and the southern kingdom being Judah. And so this was during that time, and the Syrians had eyes on the northern kingdom, on Israel. They were attacking it, and they had not yet declared all-out war against it. That would come later on, a couple of chapters over. You can find out about that war where they attacked them, but they conquered the northern kingdom in 722 B.C. And so it says here that in this first verse of chapter 5 that I read, it says, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And that's where he had captured this young maiden that had become a slave and was a servant to Naaman's wife. So he was a captain in the Syrian army, and I believe he was a Syrian. And so he contracted this bad disease, this leprosy, understanding that the Lord was in this for whatever reasons, because it says that the Lord had given him deliverance, and that's why he stood in high ranking, especially to the king, because of this successful raid that he had made against the northern kingdom and had come back with all these slaves. Now, I hope that hasn't confused you too awfully much. So Naaman now, we find, has contracted leprosy, which was a horrendous disease. And it was a very unclean disease as far as the people were concerned. As a matter of fact, lepers were cast out of society, not allowed to live with their family, even with their families. They were cast completely out, put into leper colonies, places set aside that they just were told to go and stay away from people. I'm not really going to get into leprosy. It's just a horrible disease, and we don't have time to get into all that. But anyway, because of this young girl that was the servant to his wife, she said, I wish you knew this certain man of God, because if you could find him, he will cure you of this dreaded disease. So Naaman went to his king and begged leave from his king if he would write a letter of introduction to the king of Israel. Now, remember, they had been kind of warring with one another. So there was a little animosity developed between the Assyrians and Israel. But the king of Syria, because of who Naaman was, said, I'll write you a letter of introduction. And Naaman set out to find this man of God. And as he came into Israel, he went to the king and presented this letter. Now, you find here during Jimmy's reading that the king of Israel was suspicious of the letter that Naaman had brought. And he thought that maybe Naaman was going to attack him, attack the kingdom, and overtake, kill him and overtake his kingdom, which was not Naaman's reason at all for being there, but there was a lot of suspicion. I'm just giving you this background here. And so Elisha heard about this. And he sent word to the king and told him, essentially, don't worry about it. Send this man to me. And that's where our story takes up. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Naaman came with his horses and his chariots. Now, a man's wealth at this point in time was based on how much livestock he had, how much gold and silver he had. And here we have Naaman coming up to this humble abode of Elisha. And he came up with all his horses, all his troops, all his chariots, and all his gold and silver, and came up to the house of Elisha. And I want you to notice that Elisha did not even go out to meet him. Did not go to meet him. Now, this was for a reason. I believe it was for a reason. You see, we get ourselves sometimes in a place to where we think we're better than other people. Now, that's not really hard to do. I'm telling you it's not real hard to do, because all you have to do is just look at somebody who's a little less than you are. And it's quite easy to think that you're better because you have more. So Naaman came not as a humble man now, but he came with all his riches and all his power, and I'm sure with all his pride, because here was a man who had the ear of the king of Syria. And he had all this wealth. And you know, you know how that can affect some people. How it makes your mind work. So he came to the house of Elisha, and I'm sure he was expecting, or he wasn't expecting, not to even be met by this man. It says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away. I mean, this really made Naaman mad. How dare this man not at least acknowledge my greatness or my power, or not even acknowledge my existence, but he sent a messenger to tell me to do this. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, or that means wave, and recover the leper, or heal. Now, you see, isn't this just like us? We have our own concept of how things are going to work, don't we? We have our own ways that we think this is how this is going to be. But you know, it's not necessarily God's way. And that's where we get in trouble. That's where we find ourselves at odds with the Lord. When we have conceptional ideas in our mind that this is the way this is going to happen. Now, I'm guilty of that. I'm not going to include you as a group as being guilty. But I would venture to say that each one of you at some point in your life have got it in your mind how this was going to go, and it didn't go that way. Maybe because it wasn't the Lord's will that it went that way. And you know how patient we as God's people are. Y'all realize how patient we are. Generally, we want it to happen immediately. And that's not necessarily the Lord's way. So Naaman was mad because he had it in his mind this guy was going to walk out, wave his hand, and call upon his Lord, and he would be healed of the leprosy. But that wasn't God's plan. And the messenger had told Naaman to go dip himself seven times in the Jordan. Now listen to what Naaman says. Are not Abana and Parpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Now see, he's mad. This inferior Jordan River is just a muddy river. It's not worthy of the rivers from where he's from. In Damascus, they're wide and they're beautiful, and these are great rivers. And here he is telling me to go wash myself in this stinky little muddy river, and I'm not going to do it. May I not wash in them and be clean? Well, I can answer that question now. No, you can't. Not in the way that you need to be clean. You can get the outside clean, I'm sure. If you stepped in these pristine rivers that are around Damascus, I'm sure you could get the outside of yourself completely clean. But that's not what God was looking for. God has a special way of doing things. And it's not our ways. As a matter of fact, most times it's not even close to being our ways. And one of those things that I'm going to relate to this, because I think Naaman got saved. I think he got saved during this ritual that God was going to put him in, put him through. There is a way to be saved. There's a way for your soul to be cleansed. And that's God's way. It's not man's way. Oh, there's a lot of ways out there that are put forth. There's a lot of things you can do. You can go wash yourself in the rivers of Damascus, or you can go shake the preacher's hand, or you can sign a card, or as a friend of mine did, I've told y'all this, in school, he had to take a test, and I helped him take that test. I studied with him to take this test that was going to put him in his church. There's a lot of things you can do, but there's only one thing God wants you to do. And if you don't do that, there's nothing going to happen. Not one thing. Oh, you might be clean, physically clean, but your soul will never be clean, washed as white as snow. And so he said, why can't I go wash myself in those rivers? And his servants, now I don't know who these servants were. I don't know if these were servants that maybe he had captured in when he did his foray into Israel and captured some Jews and brought them back. I don't know if these were his servants or not. When you think about it, they might could have been. It doesn't say. But this is one thing I hang that on. It's because his servants came near and spoken to him and said, my father, that's a form of respect, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Now, what a question to ask. Was that not a great question to ask? If he had come out and he had asked you to do some great thing, if he had said, okay, I can cleanse you of your leprosy for $10,000, would you not have done it? And he would have. You know he would have. He brought gold and silver with him, and he was prepared to do anything. And if Elisha had just asked him to pay for it, he would have done it in a heartbeat. But that wasn't what God wanted. So his servant said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? How simple can you get? You know, how easy? Well, first of all, pride is standing in the way. First of all. Most people are looking for great things. Most people are looking to do great things. And I honestly believe, for the most part, it's not to give God honor and glory, it's to give man honor and glory. Most people's pride blinds them to God's ways. And this was exactly Naaman's issue. He was blinded to God's way. And he couldn't see himself going down to this muddy little river and dipping himself seven times in this river. But his servant said, "Why not? If he had asked you to do something great, something mighty, something that was everybody around could see, you would have done it. But he didn't ask you that. He asked you to do something really simple. All you got to do is you got to go to the River Jordan, you got to walk in the river, and you got to dip yourself seven times. How difficult is that?" Naaman did that. There's a drawing power that God has, that if you will listen to it, if you will heed to it, it's irresistible. Irresistible. There is a drawing power that you cannot bury somewhere. All you can do is wrestle with it. And how many of you, when it came time that God placed in your heart that you were lost, how many times did you fight that drawing power, and try and flee from it? Now, I was one of the lucky ones, I guess. I didn't really flee from it. I fled toward it. It scared me to death. And I knew I needed to be saved. I knew that. But there's a lot of people that go for years and they shun that drawing power for whatever reason. Well, this drawing power was present there with Naaman, I do believe. And he said, "I'm going to the river." Now, I don't know how much time lapsed there. I don't know if he wrestled with that decision. But finally, I believe that God got a hold to him and he said, "I'm going to the river." "Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of my servant, of thy servant." In other words, I'm going to give you a gift. "But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand," this is Elisha, "I will receive none." Then Naaman, and he urged him to take it, but he refused, because he was doing what God wanted him to do. There's no pay greater than doing what God would have you to do. No pay greater than doing that, than what God would have you to do. Listen to this. There's no pay greater on this earth than you doing what God wants you to do. Money won't touch it. And Elisha refused. Now, that's the end of our lesson. But it's not the end of the story. Here's the rest of the story. Naaman grasped hold of what he had. And he told his servants to load up some of the mules with dirt from the ground around Israel, that he might could take it back to Syria and spread it out, that when he worshiped God, the God of Israel, he would have a part of Israel there with him. And this he did. And then he asked Elisha, he said, I'm paraphrasing all this, but you can read it. I'm paraphrasing this. He said, I'm going to be with the king when we go in to worship the gods of Syria. He said, I've got to go in there with him. Is this going to be all right? Imagine that. This great man is worried that now, with what he has got, that he's going to be in something's going to happen. And he wants Elisha to give him reassurance that it's going to be okay. And Elisha does. He said, go in peace. In other words, you're going to have to do this. This is your life. You are a great man in Syria. And if you have to go in and to these gods, you see, he didn't want to have anything to do with them anymore. He didn't want to have anything to do with his world that he came from. And he was worried about it. And he asked Elisha about it, and Elisha said, go in peace. Now, we don't know what happened after that. We don't know what became of Naaman. But there was a man who put away his pride, put away his wealth, put away his power, put away everything he had to cleanse himself. Not only of leprosy, but I believe to cleanse himself of sin. And having done that, I believe he became a great servant to God in whatever manner that he could. You know, we all can serve God. It's not just the prophets. It's not just the preachers. It's not the deacons. It's not just the officers of the church. We all can do our part to serve God. Now, I believe God led Naaman to Elisha. I believe there was a reason. I believe God could see out into the future and see that this man was desirous and would have a changed heart and would do good. I hope he's looked into our hearts and see that we can do some good, that we can help his cause, that we can do those things that would be not only pleasing to God, but things that people might look and see that there's something in what we profess to be. And who knows what Naaman went back and accomplished there in Syria, around those people that he had daily contact with. Who knows what good came of this and how mighty God's name was spread out and around through wherever Naaman went. But the same should be said for us. Who will know how much good we can do if we don't do it? It's our responsibility to do it. To do good. To throw away our pride. To not look for the big things. Not look for the grand things. Not look for the things that would give us honor and glory. But whatever it is, large, small, whatever it is, that would give God honor and glory. And no matter how small it is, it may just be a fact that you need to be in church, filling your place back there on a seat somewhere. That may be all it is. Because somebody may see you there every Sunday, and that might have an effect on somebody, that you're there every Sunday. Now, you may not have said a word, but you're there every Sunday. That may be all you have to do. I don't know. I mean, you may have to get up and say, I thank God for saving my soul. I don't have a clue. But there's something that you can do. You can go down and dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan if that's what God wants. You can do it. Anyone have anything? That's my lesson. Brother Jimmy, would you dismiss us, please?